once again, and welcome to episode 41 of Be Boomer Unleashed. I'm Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer, and I'll be your host for today's episode and for all the episodes of Be Boomer Unleashed. Today's episode 41, The Christian Conservative Patriots Manifesto. And we'll be talking more about that as we go along. But before we get into this episode, let me remind you, as I always do, where you can find Be Boomer Unleashed. You can always find us at beboomerunleashed.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play at Be Boomer Unleashed, on iHeartRadio at B.Boomer Unleashed, on Facebook, Spotify, Tumblr, and Instagram. You can find our links at Be Boomer Unleashed on Twitter. You can find our link at Be Boomer Unleashed 1. And as always, we encourage you to drop us an email at beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. Once again, that's beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. And you can share your thoughts with us about the episode, give us suggestions for future episodes, or should you choose to be a guest on Be Boomer Unleashed, we'd love to have you on the program. Well, what's this business about a manifesto? What's this business about a manifesto? And we'll be talking about the definition of manifesto later and what it's all about. And why are you going this direction, Jerry? Well, you know, as baby boomers, we're one of the few generations who can still remember, quote unquote, the good old days. Back when this country had some conservative values, even the Democrats. And, you know, I used to be a Democrat. I registered originally as a Democrat, but I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democrats left me. They got way too liberal for my thinking. But even the Democrats had conservative values and shared values about sanctity of life. And, you know, they were supporters of the Constitution, but not so much anymore. So we baby boomers are a generation who can remember what it was like to be taught conservative Christian values, even in the public school. And our kids aren't getting that today. They're getting a watered-down version of American history. They're getting a history that's full of liberal theology and philosophy. They're getting that not only in the public schools, but in the colleges and universities. And if that's all they get their head filled with, then all they're getting is a liberal perspective and not the conservative Christian perspective. So I decided that I would come up with this manifesto and let people know what I thought about it. So I'm just going to read through this manifesto for you, and I'll kind of highlight a few points. And if you agree with me, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. You should come up with your own belief system and your own manifesto, and that's what still makes this country great today. We need to enjoy it while we can, because freedom of speech could be a thing of the past. We're only one election away, I believe, from a socialist America. All right, let's start in. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being lambasted by liberals who want to turn our great country, the United States of America, into a socialist cesspool. I'm sick and tired of wasting my time with endless debates on Facebook about imbecilic socialist propositions that will only serve to weaken our country and do irreparable harm to our people. So I quit. I refuse to argue with liberals who haven't got enough sense to see that the United States of America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I refuse to argue with Trump haters, baby killers, gun grabbers, and those who would weaken our country by refusing to defend our borders. Trying to explain these concepts to a democratic, progressive, socialist liberal is much like trying to teach a chimpanzee to fly a Boeing 747. It's futile and a total waste of time. Therefore, instead of arguing, I'm letting everyone know where I stand on certain Christian and social issues. If you think I'm deplorable for believing the items I will present, then I suggest that you delete me from your friend list. I don't really care anymore what you believe or how vile, hateful, condescending, and degrading you can be. Rather than wasting time debating with you, I will instead pray for you, our country, and our president every time I feel tempted to respond to your asinine posts on Facebook. Now, that's the opening statement that I have there on that manifesto. And folks, I am sick and tired of it. You know, it's a waste of time arguing with liberals. You know, they're not going to change their mind, just like they're not going to change your mind. So it's a waste of time. So I think my time is better spent trying to educate our young people with Christian conservative principles and patriotic principles. Patriotism's not dead in this country, folks. It's not dead at all. It's just asleep. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up and see that it's important for us as conservative patriots and for some of us Christian conservative patriots, but whether you're a Christian or not, you can still be a conservative patriot. And it's important that we pass this on. If not, we're not going to have a conservative nation that's built upon God's principles ever again. It's important that we pass some of this along. Well, I go on and I continue. I say, first, let's define manifesto. Unfortunately, the liberal media has cheapened this word to apply to nut jobs that want to commit crimes. That's a gross misstatement of the definition. I, as a peaceful, conservative, patriotic Christian, should be able to publish a manifesto without being considered a nut job. And that's the truth, folks. The liberal media has, every time some nut job wants to hurt people, they look on Facebook and they find what they refer to as a manifesto. Manifesto. And certainly manifestos sometimes are done for evil purposes. There was a communist manifesto. You remember that? They told people what they were going to do, but then people stood by and watched them do it anyway. There's a socialist manifesto. You know, they want to take from you and give to everybody who hasn't worked for it. But yet we, as Americans, are dumb enough to sit and vote for these socialists who want to ruin our country. Well, Merriam-Webster defines manifesto as follows. They say it's a noun, and it's pronounced manifesto. The plural is manifestos, or manifestos, one without an E and one with an E. So, you know, Dan Quayle, you can add the E if you want to. And here's the definition. A written statement declaring publicly the intentions, motives, or views of its issuer. An example of that in a sentence would be the group's manifesto focused on helping the poor and stopping violence. So, if I'm true to this definition, I have to first state my intentions, state my motives, and then state some of the views that I have, since I'm the issuer of this manifesto. So I will utilize that definition in presenting my manifesto to you. First of all, my intentions. My intentions are to further Christian conservative patriotism through written essays, podcasting, and personal conversations with anyone interested in having a respectful dialogue. I will engage in peaceful, respectful discourse with anyone who wishes to discuss Christianity, conservatism, or patriotism in person, face-to-face, and not Facebook-to-Facebook. So that's my intention, to get the word out, folks, to get the message out that there are folks in this country with Christian, conservative, patriotic values. Not everyone in this country loves the liberal socialists. They don't do that. Most of us, most people, I think, in large part, feel the same way that you and I feel about some of these issues, and that we have a conservative perspective, but not all. So my intent is simply to get the word out. In short, get the word out. Now for my motives. Well, my motives are pretty simple. I love Christianity. I love being a conservative, and I love American patriotism. Oh, I love the 4th of July. I love to see people waving flags. I love to see people sing the national anthem with their hand over their heart and their hat in their hand. I love to see people recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I love that patriotic display in our country. all too often we don't see it, do we? We see people disrespecting the flag, disrespecting our president, disrespecting our country. As a conservative Christian patriot, I refuse to sit by and allow the socialists to take over our way of life without at least sounding the trumpet for those who care to listen. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and we must claim Acts 1:8 when he tells us to be witnesses. We must claim Acts 1:8 as our call to be witnesses to the saving power of Jesus. Yes, I said Jesus. As I've said many times before, they don't hate Donald Trump because he's Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump because he's a friend to Christians. He's not afraid to talk about Easter and Christmas and the greatest miracle ever. He's not afraid to do that. And they hate Jesus, therefore they hate Donald Trump. If Donald Trump were a fiscal conservative and a social liberal, they'd love him, but not so much. So now we get into my views. It's important for you to know that in expressing my views about Christianity, I will not include entire excerpts of Scripture, but will instead give you the Scripture reference, which you may look up and read for yourself. I must also tell you that my Scripture references always come from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. The KJV happens to be my personal preference. In expressing views regarding society and politics, they are my views alone. Mine. You may agree or you may not, but I have no intention of apologizing for my positions. You are certainly entitled to your beliefs and positions. Thank God we still have that opportunity in America. That's one thing that currently makes our country so great. Let's talk about Christian views first. And I have several here that I think are paramount to a Christian perspective. Number one, I believe God created the world and everything in it in 6 24-hour days. He rested on the seventh day. Now you can find that, if you want to jot it down, you can find that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, through Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, in the King James Bible. I believe that. I don't believe it was a big bang. I don't believe it was Darwin's theory of evolution, which is being taught as fact in many of our public schools now. I don't believe it was, you know, some catastrophic incident that caused all this to happen. I believe that God created the earth, the world, everything in it in 6 24-hour days and rested on the seventh. I believe that Jesus is the only Son of God and was born of a virgin, and you can find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, the Christmas story. What a wonderful story that is. And it's not just a story. It's a historical record. It's a historical account. Third, I believe God so loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins. And of course, you can find that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number four, Jesus died a literal death on the cross of Calvary, and you can find references to that in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 37, and other places too, but that's a good place to start. Jesus died a literal death. That's not some fairy tale. He died a death on the cross. Jesus was buried in a barred tomb. Jesus didn't even have his own tomb. You know why? He knew he wouldn't need it, so he didn't have a tomb. So they barred a tomb, put him in it, and you can find that in John 19, verses 38 through 42. Then Jesus resurrected bodily from the grave on the third day. He didn't stay in that grave. He came out of that grave bodily. Bodily resurrection of Jesus. You can find that in John chapter 20. Jesus is the only remedy for our sin. You can find that in John 14:6, Romans 10:13, and Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Jesus is the only remedy. Church membership is not a remedy. Islam is not a remedy. All of these cults and isms and schisms are not a remedy. It's Jesus. Jesus is the remedy for our sin. Jesus is coming again. I believe that. Do you? John 14, verses 1 through 3 tell us that Jesus is coming again and not to let our hearts be troubled. Number 9, we're living in the last days. And I'm going to share some of this. So some of you may not be familiar with this scripture. Most of you are. But 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Is that not a picture of today, folks? Is that not a picture of today? We're living in the last days, folks. We don't have much time to get the message out. If we have friends and relatives who are unsaved, those who don't know Jesus, today is the day to tell them about him. Number 10, the Bible is God's inspired, infallible, and errant word of God. And you can find information on that in 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. God's word's not a book of fairy tales. It's not just a history book. It is the word of God. It's inspired by God. It's infallible, and it's inerrant. It's the eternal word of God. Number 11, God hates sins. Let me read you just a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where you see about God hating sin. God doesn't wink at sin. God doesn't just ignore sin. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." God provides us with quite a list of sins there, doesn't he? And that's not all of the sins, but that's the character of many sins that he's listed there. And he's not going to ignore those. All people think that murdering babies is okay. They think all this crazy lifestyle is okay. But God's not going to ignore that. God hates sin. God hates sin. But you know what? God loves the sinner. And I am so thankful that God loved me, even in my sinful state. And that can be found in 1 Timothy 1:15, 2 Peter 3:9, and John 3:16, and many, many other places in the Bible. Well, let's talk about social views. Let's talk about some of my social views. You might be interested in that. You might not be. Number one, separation of church and state does not exist under the U.S. Constitution. We had a whole episode about that. This was an egregious misinterpretation of the First Amendment by the U.S. Supreme Court. The Establishment and Free Exercise Clause in the First Amendment simply meant there would be no state-sponsored religion, and the government would not prohibit your free exercise of religious practice, private or public. My, how far we've come from that. I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This has nothing to do, as liberals would have you to believe, that only the military should own guns, should bear arms. What part of shall not be infringed do they not understand? Gun control only hurts law-abiding citizens. The criminals will always find guns and a way to kill us. Number three, I am pro-life and anti-abortion. I am against killing babies, period. Those who murder the unborn should be tried for first-degree murder and sentenced to death. Planned Parenthood is a vile and godless organization. Number four, I'm in favor of capital punishment for capital crimes. Number five, I am for controlling our borders north, south, east, and west. You know, why don't you try going to Afghanistan without a passport and see what happens? I'm opposed to illegal immigration. Come to our country legally. Number six, I believe we should be required to show an ID card in order to vote. That's just common sense, folks. Number seven, I believe there are two genders, and two genders only, male and female. Male and female. Number eight, I believe in the traditional definition of marriage being between one man and one woman for a lifetime. Not between two men, not between two women, not between an elephant and a man, you know. I'm not, you know, it's the biblical definition. The biblical definition of marriage. You can find that all through the Bible if you care to look. Number nine, I believe in equal rights for all U.S. citizens, regardless of their race, religion, or national origin. I believe we're guaranteed that under the Constitution. Number 10, I am in favor of legal, make that legal, immigration. We should welcome those who wish to come to our country legally. Number 11, I'm opposed to socialized medicine. It's a bad idea. Number 12, I'm opposed to anyone who hates the United States of America. Anyone, any person or country. I will pray for them to find a country more to their liking. Number 13, I am so thankful for our military, for our police, and all first responders. I support them 100%. Number 14, I am in favor of school choice. The public school system is broken. Either fix it or offer parents other options. Number 15, we don't need more government intervention. We need more Jesus in our daily lives. Number 16, political correctness has ruined our country. Think about that one. Number 17, transgender males playing female sports is a travesty and a tragedy. It is an insult to every female athlete in the country. Shame, shame, shame on the politicians who have allowed this to happen. Number 18, Israel is our greatest ally in the Middle East. Those who hate Israel are not our friends, folks. And we have elected officials to Congress who are parts of organizations who want to destroy every Israelite, every Jew on the face of the earth. Those people are not our friends. Number 19, I support President Trump and pray for him and our government leaders every day. I pray for all of them, liberals and conservatives alike. If we spent more time praying for our leaders, things might actually change for the better. And finally, this list is not all-inclusive, but you get the idea. Well, there you have it, I say. It's offered prayerfully in peace and total transparency. President Trump isn't perfect, but then neither are we. But I believe he's an American patriot. I believe he's God's man to give the American people one more chance to get it right. We are one election away from a socialist America. Capitalism has given us the greatest lifestyle of any people in the world. Sure, there are corrupt capitalists just like there are corrupt socialists. The difference is that capitalism provides us with wonderful goods and services and allows entrepreneurs to make profit while doing so. while socialism's only product is oppression, hunger, total control, and misery. There is no chance for advancement in a socialist economy. If this offends you, I do not apologize. I'm entitled to my position just like you're entitled to yours, but the time for being a closet Christian conservative patriot is over. Being silent has allowed socialism to creep in. We have been the silent majority for way too long. I choose to be silent no longer. How about you? Let people know what you believe. Do it respectfully. Do it peacefully. And do it tastefully. God bless each of you, and God bless America, please. Well, folks, that's all the time we have today. I hope that you have gleaned just a little bit from this podcast. And if this manifesto offends you, you don't have to listen to this podcast. There are plenty of other podcasts you can listen to. Listen to Ron Burgundy. I'm sure he'll curse about something. But I'm going to spend my time, instead of arguing with liberals, I'm going to spend my time spreading the word, trying to spread Christian values, conservative values, and patriotic values. The time has come, folks. We can be silent no longer. Hope to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in today. Have a great, great week, and may God bless each and every one of you. Goodbye.